south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, let's hit a few emails first. Let me preface this by saying I always like it when single females from up in the States or Europe, whatever, decide they're going to get on that plan B, no matter if their better or lesser half wants to get on board with the plan or not. Now, it's usually just the opposite. It's the guy who's on board and he has to drag his other half or his wife, sometimes kicking and screaming all the way down here to Latin America or to my seminar. I've seen that a few times. And believe me, I've seen the transformation before my very eyes many times. A lady will come down with her husband or boyfriend, whatever, cautious, trepidatious, if that's a word, worried even, especially the day they land, and more especially if they don't speak Spanish. That's what it's like those first days before the seminar when people come early. But then, after that week's gone by, they're already looking for houses and rentals. So it's usually the guy who's on board and his other half, most always his better half. She's the one with 101 reasons why they're just not going to be able to pull off a plan B. Oh, I've heard that refrain, honey, let's wait a few years. We can't really do it yet. A million and one excuses, really. Which brings us to this email. The case of a single, good-looking, successful, 30-something young woman. So how do I know she's a looker? Well, you know, photos often come along with these emails, or little headshots stuck up in the corner somewhere. Whether that's really the person or not, who knows, but photos do come along. Oh, by the way, some inside dirt. You know, when you have a radio program or you're in some kind of media work, you get some crazy emails, and sometimes ladies send in naked pictures. And of course, when that happens, you got to know they're off their rocker, not the kind of people you want to hang with or have at your seminar. But keep those pictures coming, but don't sign up for the seminar, okay? By the way, I don't want you to think at all this lady who sent me the email sent naked pictures. She did not. Just thought you'd like to hear that little behind-the-scenes anecdote. By the way, I even had this male nutcase sent me his naked pictures. Oh man, let's not go there, huh? Except to say, ladies, how are you with this new fad where guys completely shave themselves? Now, expat Eddie says all that hairless private part stuff was started by that stupid magazine Men's Health. I wouldn't know, I don't read it, but I can tell you, on the magazine stands here in Latin America, Men's Health is here and in Spanish. So, ladies, are you up for that or is that kind of too gross and kinky? Just checking. I mean, hey, if you're into nose rings and earlobe extenders, I guess anything goes, right? Anyway, as for this email, I have to admire her. And you'll admire her too once you hear this. And I'll paraphrase as usual, just because. This is from Dorothy up in Canada. She says, Johnny, I'm going to enroll in your Expat Plan B Essentials course first. And then I'm going to set up 3 one-hour phone calls with you. And once I've put together a little rough outline of my Plan B and narrowed down my cities and locations a bit more, we'll be talking shortly. Then she says, also, I'm in the process of cleaning up a bunch of personal mierda here in Unterrible. I like that. First time I've heard that. Unterrible, Canada. Kind of paints a nice picture of where she's from, huh? She says she's in the process of cleaning up a few things here in Unterrible before she can pack her bags and head south. Then she says, a few weeks is what I think I need in order to be ready to move forward and start implementing whatever plan I do come up with. However, she says, before all that goes down, my question for you, Johnny, is, and I've never really heard you talk about this on your show before, I'm seriously considering towing a small camper trailer down to Latin America. That'd be from Unterrible through the U.S. and Mexico to wherever I end up. So my thoughts are to drive south towing that small camper, and then once I got down to Latin America, maybe sell that camper. Maybe take a small loss on the sale, but also it would be my wheels and lodging as I was traveling, and it'd save a ton of money. So the question is, Johnny, would this work or is it completely impractical? Can you shed some light on this subject for me? Thanks, Dottie. Sure, Dee, I've got some opinions on that. You know me, I've got opinions on everything. Though I can tell you're not quite a long-time listener because I'd say about 2 years ago or so, I told that fun, interesting, even wild and crazy story of Bitcoin Dan. You know, he's from Canada, Montreal, and that's exactly what he did. Now, you longtime listeners, of course, have heard this, but I'm going to encapsulate a little bit for the new people who are always coming on. Oh, and by the way, a lot of people say, Johnny, I can pick up your show in a lot of places on the net, so how many listeners do you think you have? Well, you know, I'm really in a small niche here. Not too many people talking about Plan Bs, moving to Latin America, getting the hell out of Dodge. People who see the train wreck that's coming up in the first world. So it's basically only people who have a brain and foresight who are listening to this show. Though some people I know listen to this show because of my bubbly personality and perpetual optimism. I pride myself in that, you know. But you knew that already, right? In regards to how many people are listening to this show and downloading it, it's true you can get it in a lot of places, but on the main station, PRN-FM, the mothership coming out of New York, which is the biggest podcast radio station in the world. I understand they're getting 20 million hits a week there. Anyway, they've got something like 55 shows running a week. And our producer, Jesse, tells me I'm the seventh most listened to on that station, with well over a million downloads of the show just through that source. Now, that makes me feel good. And I want every one of you to send me a dollar. Then we'll buy an island and call it Plan B Island. Which, by the way, reminds me of a true story. When I was a kid, there was a guy on TV. He was syndicated nationally, kind of like a morning show bozo kind of guy. His name was Soupy Sales. Do you remember him? He was Mr. Rogers' competition. Puppets, corny jokes, stuff for kids under 10. Anyway, when I was a kid, there was a huge scandal and the guy got fired. At least momentarily. Guess he's probably dead now. So why'd he get fired? Well, one day he told all the little kids listening to him, and I think he was coming out of New York, so he had huge audience, millions. He told the kids to go into their mother's purses and pull out one of those green pieces of paper with a president's face on it, put it in an envelope, stick a stamp on it, and send it to good old Soupy, care of this station. Then he said, if you do that, I'll send you a postcard from Puerto Rico. You know, he was just screwing around, kind of playing to the bored moms in the audience who were sitting there with their kids. I mean, this was before the days of Prozac, Zoloft, and Xanax for stay-at-home moms. And you know what? Tons of envelopes came into the station. And naturally, that wasn't quite kosher, so they booted his ass at least temporarily. And in an instant, he decided to donate all that dough to charity. And that incident generated huge publicity, which only furthered his career, you know, because in the entertainment business, no publicity is bad publicity. I mean, come on, the very best example of that is the Kardashian BJ sex tape. Good Catholic girl, great role model for the millennials, huh? Wonder how Kanye feels about that. Wasn't him, you know. That said, those of you who are old enough might remember that Soupy Sales story. Nevertheless, I want all you guys to send me a buck, okay? Then if I get fired, we can still buy that island. Okay, but speaking of driving a mobile home or pulling a trailer down, sure it's been done. Bitcoin Dan did it. He's kind of like the pioneer. And I'll have you know you rarely see trailers in mobile homes here in Latin America, except trailers hauling motorcycles and ATVs and stuff. And race cars, yep. They have races regularly on weekends here. But as far as the camping type and such, you almost never see them, except occasionally in Mexico, being that they share a border with the U.S. and there are lots of senior citizens into the mobile home thing and lots of gentrified grown-up backpackers, too. It's kind of a natural transition and a big step up from a Fleabag hostel, you know. And some of those trailers, man, they're ultra deluxe. They can go from dirt cheap into the hundreds of thousands of bucks. In fact, a couple who were a repeat offenders at my Expat Insider seminar, Glenn and his lovely wife, Debbie, a very cool couple. I ran into them just a couple of weeks ago here in Central America, and they showed me a picture of their deluxe motorhome up in the States. They're not going to drive it down. They're using it up in the States. But when I saw it, I said, holy mierda, that thing looks like Willie Nelson's tour bus. Minus the weed art on the side panels. Because, man, that thing was deluxe. But they're not intending to drive it down. That's for use up in the States. Anyway, Bitcoin Dan did buy a nice, big, heavy-duty pickup. And I mean big and heavy-duty, used. I think he said he paid $7,000 or $8,000 for it. Along with that, he bought a pretty nice mobile home to tow down with him. Also used. I think he said he paid $7,000 or $8,000 for that, too. Now, Bitcoin Dan's story goes back at least 6 years now, so what you're going to hear and what he went through is a lot worse now, I can guarantee you that. So he and his wife packed up the trailer, they drove from Montreal to the U.S. border, and they got thoroughly searched, not by Canadian Immigration or Customs, but by U.S. authority. He said they were inside his trailer going through everything. And this is a nice young French-Canadian guy and his wife, perfectly presentable. Absolutely no outward signs of deviousness. No asymmetrical hairdos, no neck tats, nose ring, lip studs, earlobe expanders, none of that. The guy's nicely dressed, absolutely articulate and super polite. Still, as he said, they pretty much tore his trailer apart. Then, he said while driving through the States on their way to Mexico, I believe it was the truck's differential or drivetrain that just blew out. Well, it was a big problem, so he ended up trading it in on another used truck. Big hassle there, and you know, when you're taking a long trip, you have to expect the unexpected. So finally, they hit the Mexican border, which is something like a four-hour wait these days because they're shaking so many people down. Especially, you know, if you got a trailer because due to massive drug trafficking, trailers and trucks are the usual suspects. Even coming into Mexico, there, they're not looking for drugs, but cash coming from the sellers up in the States. You know, it's always baffled me. They catch you with two joints at the airport, you're going to jail. Somehow, 15 tons of pot and 2 tons of coke get through the Mexican border every day. Isn't that funny? Meaning there are lots of officials on both sides, Mexican and U.S., who are on the take. But who? Can't be all of them. Has to be just a fraction. Well, you'd think. So how does Homeland Security and Border Control police themselves? Well, badly. What a bunch of idiots. Tell you how I'd handle it. Fire all the investigators and get about 5 nerds on Google Maps. Get a list of border agents and their home addresses. And have a look at their houses and swimming pools and outdoor jacuzzis and ATVs, beamers, and high-end SUVs. Because you know, a government slug on the take is going to spend his money on luxury items. He can't put it in the bank. That's way too traceable. And in general, those Customs and Border Patrol agents aren't the brightest bulb in the closet. Same with airport TSA. Have you seen them lately? I'll tell you, anyone who says when pigs fly hasn't been to the airport lately. Oh, but I'm wandering here. Sorry about that. I'm just saying, what the hell's wrong with so-called internal affairs, the people who are supposed to investigate and uncover dirty agents? But I digress, man, did I digress. Anyway, when Bitcoin Dan and his wife came down, some 6 years ago or so, it was the U.S. immigration and border jerks that ripped him a new one. And then, as he passed through Mexico, just 50 miles into the country beyond the border, he was pulled over at gunpoint by a troop of Mexican bandidos in cars and motorcycles. A real kind of Mad Max operation. Coincidentally, he was pulled over halfway between the border checkpoint and the next police checkpoint in Mexico. How'd that happen? But you know, Bitcoin Dan is a very, very smart guy. And he listened to most all of my expat shows up to that point. And he heard me talking about having decoys with you if you ever were to drive down and make that trip. And so he did. A couple of old computers right on hand. And the thieves were satisfied with that. Plus, I think he said $200. And funny enough, Bitcoin Dan said they weren't the violent types. They were actually very friendly. Just doing their jobs, all in a day's work. They even apologized as they took his stuff. And of course, after that, here and there he got pulled over by the cops for various small-time shakedowns. And here's how that works. You know, there's 31 states in Mexico, just like the states has 50. But in Mexico, man, do they have a system. When a cop, a stinking federale, pulls you over, he kind of sizes you up to figure what kind of mordida or bribe he can get out of you. And when he sees gringo plates, like Bitcoin Dan with his Canadian plates, those are prime targets. Mexican cops know 99% of the time you can't speak or read Spanish. The first thing they'll do is ask for your license and papers and then walk away and get into a little huddle. What they're doing is trying to throw a scare into you so that you're just about ready to pay anything to get the hell out of there. Oh, and I've been in a double shakedown like that in Mexico. There were 3 cops. They pulled me over, you know, at one of those roadside stops because they never do high-speed chases in Latin America. That's almost unheard of. Anyway, the first guy went over my papers with a scowl on his face. Said, this is not right. Then I said, wait a minute, I just got through the Guatemalan Honduras, Honduras Belize, and Belize Mexico border. They checked my papers 100 times, and that's why I'm here right now. Because I made it clean through 5 border checks. Of course, my papers were in order, he knew that, but he was very surprised I could speak Spanish. Now, that throws a wrench into the works for him, you know. But really, in some cases, it's better to play the dumb gringo and pay the money, depending how much they're trying to hit you up for. And you know, all Mexican cops will speak some broken English. They know how to shake down gringos, that's for sure. And by the way, they rarely shake down people with Mexican plates because, hey, who's got more money? The gringos coming through on vacation or Mexicans in their junkers? And of course, the goose that lays the golden egg is a car with American plates hauling a trailer. Lots of booty there. But where were we? Oh yeah. Then he took the papers and passed them on to the next cop, who also put a scowl on his face and shook his head back and forth a little like he was disappointed in what he was looking at. Then the first guy got on his radio and began to talk to somebody, came back and said my papers weren't in order, it'd be a $200 fine. And that's where you're between a rock and a hard place, because, you know, they want you to pay it there and you can't pay fines directly to cops, so it's strictly a bribe. And if you don't open up your wallet, they'll start talking about impounding your car. And that's when those little beads of sweat start popping up on the back of your neck. Though if you really know your Spanish, you can have a Mexican standoff with them and you'll win. But it'll put a big dent in your day because you'll be standing around waiting as they pull over other cars. That's another one of their methods to break you down. Hey, that's happened to me, but only in Mexico. If you put up an argument, they tell you to go back and wait in your car. And they make you wait forever, kind of forget about you, while they pull over other cars. Hey, that's a legitimate cop roadblock, you know. So they'll pull over every 20 or 30th car, check licenses, see if you've paid up your sticker for the year, and then if you've got Mexican plates, you're on your way. However, if you got first world plates, Canada, US, whatever, when you start sweating, you start fishing for your wallet. You know what they say, you pick your battles, right? But here's the thing, suppose you're coming right in from Texas, you're in Mexico, like Bitcoin Dan, you get hit up by bandidos, conveniently located exactly midway between the border and the next police stop. Yep, they do have plenty of police stops along the way. And usually, if it's more than three cops, they won't hit you up for a bribe. Just too many cooks in the kitchen, you know, too many witnesses. So anyway, after the bandidos, Dan made it to the next roadblock. Told the cops about the robbers, though Dan did kind of get the last laugh, giving them some old computers and stuff. And the cops just shook their head and said, mala suerte, gringo. Bad luck, gringo. All right, so what next? Remember I said Mexico has 31 states? And if you're going straight down to Guatemala or Belize, those are the two countries that share a southern border with Mexico, by the way, you're going to go through some of those states. And if you get shaken down by the Mexican federales in any one of those states, and let's say it's $100, well, they'll call on down to their cop buddies to the next state and tell them that there's this gringo driving through. I just got $100 out of him. Should be good for $100 for you, too. And on until you hit a Mexican Guatemala or a Mexican Belize border. Suddenly the cops become fat, jovial, and happy. By the way, more so in Guatemala than Belize. And you know, they're glad to see gringos, and they want to tell you stories about their friends and relatives, like Cousin Julio up in Cleveland. And of course, Cousin Julio's up there illegally, but they never mention that. Now, you've heard me say it 100 times. As soon as you hit the Guatemala or Belize border, no matter what you've heard, 3/4 of the cops are Latin versions of Barney Fife. And when they have to pull you over, you can tell their heart's just not in it. They'd much rather be doing just about anything else. And what's not to like about that? So anyway, Bitcoin Dan also mentioned he got into 2 accidents on the way down. And really, he's a great driver. Even though he's a nerdish kind of guy, he knows equipment. He knows trucks and tractors. He grew up on his dad's farm. So he knows how to maneuver trailers and such. But you see, Bitcoin Dan, in fact, any gringo who drives down, is never quite prepared for the way roads are designed or the condition of the roads here. And you know, he took the Pan American Highway. That's the best one to take, the biggest one. It goes from Alaska to Panama. It's the most well-developed road in Latin America, too, in some places, anyway. Like he said, sometimes it'll be 6 straight lanes of a fantastic concrete, well-lit, well-marked guardrails and electronic overhead signs everywhere, and then you hit the countryside, and slowly but surely, and sometimes not so slowly but surely, all of a sudden you're on a 2-lane highway, crumbly, busted-up asphalt, and sometimes it transitions into gravel, which is why you never want to drive at night. Not to mention about every 20 to 50 miles, there's massive road construction, and the way they do things down here, nothing's marked. It's total chaos, and often, and this has happened to me many times, they'll let 1 lane of traffic pass in one direction for a whole hour. And when that hour is up, they'll let the other lane start rambling on. And you know when you're in for a big wait like that, when suddenly everyone starts slowing down and hordes of little locals converge on your car trying to sell you everything from peanuts to popcorn to stale pine-scented Santa Claus visor air fresheners. Because they know that's the spot where they've got a captive audience for maybe an hour or so. And since Latinos are used to lines, the fact is they've been standing in them most of their lives, they rarely get pissed off about that kind of stuff. Instead, they get out, meander on the grass, sit under a tree, pop open an off-brand pirated Coke, and make a picnic out of it. And of course, all Latin males will take two steps out of their vehicles, whip it out, and do their thing. That's the Latin macho way, and you always gotta wonder, where do the women do it? Because they don't disappear into the bushes, they just never seem to go. So even something that would drive a gringo absolutely batty if it happened up in the States, talking about a 1 hour or so traffic delay, turns into kind of an impromptu picnic moment. And you will see smiles and laughter. I mean, this is Latin America, you know. Like expat Eddie always says, Latins are so used to standing in line, when they see one forming, they often just jump right in. It's their comfort zone, you know. I'm serious, there are really no glum faces in long Latin lines. It's amazing. Of course, everyone's on their smartphone these days, but even before that. Whereas for us gringos, even with our devices, there's some wailing and gnashing of teeth, you know. So anyway, Bitcoin Dan gotten into a couple fender benders with that trailer. I believe one was right on the Guatemalan-Mexican border, and he just gave the guy, I think, $50, because the car he hit was an absolute piece of junk. Then once again, when he got into Guatemala, he got another fender bender, paid that guy off too. Hey, that's all it takes. Makes life simple, doesn't it? And so, as the story goes, Bitcoin Dan came down, went to the seminar, and never left. By the way, though you'll rarely see trailers in Latin America, they do have trailer parks. You can go on the internet and find them. And from what Bitcoin Dan says, they're nice and they're the cheapest he's ever seen. And they're almost always mostly empty. Now, as mentioned, you're not going to see Winnebagos and tow-along campers like that here in Latin America. You just don't see them. When you do, it's a rarity. Which is probably why when Bitcoin Dan finally moved into a rental in a really nice upscale neighborhood and parked his trailer out in front and put a sign on it for sale, it was sold in 3 days for exactly what he wanted for it. He didn't even have to drop his price. Someone right in his subdivision bought it. So don't think there's not a market for these things down here. In fact, I'd say if you have some cash and capital, that would be a hell of a good gringo business. That is, pick an area in any big Latin city where they've got some car dealerships and put up a lot that sells only caravans and trailers. Hell, just buy a bunch of used ones in the States and ship them down. I hear the market for them shot up in the States and you can buy them for a song. They're practically giving them away. Of course, there's always a market at the very high end, like, for example, the Willie Nelson Weedmobile. But the market's pretty shot for the tow-alongs and the fold-up camper types. However, as far as actually driving around with those things and camping and maybe even living in them for a while, remember, the roads are terrible down here, and they've got these things called tumulos, gigantic speed bumps. Man, you hit one of those with a trailer, I don't know. And if you think I'm kidding, just come down here and look at one of those things. I'm talking about the tumulos. The tops of all of them are completely scraped flat, and they're solid concrete. So you can just imagine how many cars and trucks are running around Latin America with their frames and undercarriages twisted and dented beyond repair. Hey, now there's another gringo business idea that just occurred to me. How about an app that's got all those tumulos, those big speed bumps, mapped out? And as you're driving day or night, you get something like a 30-second warning, a beep or two. Man, that would save countless trips to the mechanic and the wheel alignment guy. Because, you know, those things start out getting painted yellow or white, but soon enough, the paint wears off and they just seemingly pop out of nowhere. See what I mean? How those weird business ideas come to you just in a flash? Tell you what, if you came up with an app like that and all you'd have to do is kind of link it to Google Maps, for sure it'd be easy. Every single gringo in Latin America would buy that thing. Not to mention all the upscale Latins with decent cars. So there's an idea, I'm giving it out for free. And these are the things that happen when you're down here in Latin America. You look around thinking, why'd they do it that way? It should be like this, or it should be like that. Well, half the time when your mind's trying to figure out those Latin conundrums, there's a business idea lurking in there somewhere. Enough said about that. But where were we? Oh yeah, Dorothy's RV question. Thanks for that, Dorothy. Oh, and one last thing, Dorothy, kind of a warning. If you're coming down here all by yourself, especially driving a car, pulling a trailer, whatever. Now, you know, there's the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great here, but I wouldn't recommend a woman driving down all by herself. This is macho man land, you know, especially in Mexico. You'll always be safe while you're moving, but what if you break down? The trick is to know the safe and the unsafe zones before you even start traveling. And you know, it's not just black and white either. For example, city of Guatemala. When I give my expat insider seminar, I hand out some maps depicting the 25 zones in Guatemala City. Then there's a legend on the map with the good, the bad, and the ugly zones. Now, some zones are pretty uniform. And others have mixed use. A lot of zones are absolutely safe to walk down alone in the daytime, but I wouldn't go there at night. Some zones I'd stay out of completely, day and night. Though, If I was with another person or two, I wouldn't have any trouble walking around at all during the day. Now, the good thing about the way zones are cut out in various Latin American cities, and most of them do have zones or districts, is that everyone kind of knows the best zones and the worst zones. And as for the zones that are kind of uniform, one zone might be kind of an industrial zone, a lot of factories and stuff. Another a business or banking zone, another a residential zone, middle class, lower middle class, whatever, though there is some bleed over in every zone. But for example, if you were in Guatemala City and were thinking about renting, any place in Zone 10 is good. Pretty much any place in Zone 14 or Zone 16, perfect. Zone 15, all good to rent there too. Then you've got Zone 4 and 5, some areas good, some areas not so good. Zone 11, 7, 17 and 18, I wouldn't want to live there for anything. You get the idea. The question is, if you're a newbie, how are you going to know that? What zones are perfectly fine and cheap for gringos and expats to live or not? Well, we go through all that in great detail in my Expat Insider seminars. And as it turns out, whatever Latin city you're thinking about, all you have to have is a nice detailed map made out of paper. They still make those, right? And I'm not talking about one on your little device. That won't do. Then you go to a rental car place like Hertz or Avis or a taxi hub and have them mark up the map for you. Because you know anyone who rents out cars or drives a taxi, they know their town by heart. They know exactly where the good, the bad, and the ugly zones are. When you hear a taxi driver say it's a zona rojo, that's a red zone, that means some taxis won't even go there at night. Reminds me of Chicago, St. Louis, and Cleveland. Now, newbie gringos and expats have said, Johnny, but why don't I just go to an average Latin guy I meet on the street or in a coffee house, and ask him to mark up the map? I mean, he lives in the city, whatever city it is, and he knows the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great. I mean, he grew up in that town. To which I say, good idea, but don't do it. Because local people who grew up in the town are totally biased, and they don't have yours and my concepts of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great. Now, you know how I've mentioned many times that Latins like to live in close quarters, common walls. They dig noise. If there aren't kids crying, TVs blaring, dogs barking, and chickens cackling, that's just not home to most middle and lower middle class Latinos. And right away, for us gringos, we'd say, hell, I'd never want to live like that. In fact, that's one of the big complaints I get from gringos and expats who move into tight quarters in a big city. The place could be brand new, first world all the way, but you got no control at all over the noise coming from the neighbors, the kids, the dogs, the chicken buses. But for most Latinos, those are the noises of home sweet home. Enough said about that. You've been listening to the Expat Files, Living in Latin America. If you need some help with your own Plan B, you can schedule a one-on-one phone call with me. But first, download my free Plan B questionnaire at www.thenewexpat.com. Better yet, if you want to get your Plan B going from right up there in the States, just sign up for my 9-hour Expat Essentials course. Get the perfect Plan B blueprint by going to theexpatfiles.com/academy. Nos vemos.